Part 2, A Consideration of Technology. The dawn of modern science and technology has its roots within Western civilization and the rise of modernity. The birth of our modern approach to science, and I may add technology, was not within the context of an orthodox ethos. Even more, it arose out of a post-schism culture that sought to elevate the mind over the heart. This point is important to us because it reminds us that we must be cautious in observing the deeper assumptions that work within and behind modern technology as it is implemented today. As St. Paul warns us in terms of the company we keep, quote, "Cease being led astray, bad companionships corrupt good manners." I'm afraid the same may be said for the conditions in which modern technology was born. The companions of modern science was having faith in reason, and faith in reason was not an ideal partner for science. The result is that faith in reason and faith in science are hallmarks of Western civilization today. Both of these faiths have produced great societal confusion and destruction. Although we do not like to be reminded of the fact, we only have to look at the 20th century and the wars that took place at the hands of godlessness with technology as a powerful weapon. Millions upon millions of lives were lost in the 20th century. We can also look at our continued unabated pursuit of technological progress, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, the drug industry, and list goes on with no boundaries, no limits, no desire to say no. So my first point on thinking about technology is that we should come with a suspicious eye to modern science and technology. Science and technology were not conceived within an orthodox ethos, and more importantly, were conceived in a post-schism culture that elevated the mind over the heart. In embracing all that comes with modern technology, we may be embracing much more than we think. Secondly, it is important to consider the relationship between nature, technology, and man. We often like to relegate nature to everything we want to control or dominate. For example, animals are part of nature. The weather is part of nature. Unfortunately, humans too often forget that we ourselves are part of the created world, and as such are also participants in nature. The importance of this fact is that if man is focused on using technology to control and dominate nature, there's a point in which technology will also begin to dominate man himself. I believe we are seeing the fruits of this reality in our own time, where at one time in history man was able to manage technology, direct technology, and guide technology. We are coming to a point where technology is beginning to manage man, direct man, and guide man. Archimandrite Emilianos of the Holy Monastery of Simonis Petrus says this well when he writes, quote, "The basic feature which is new, however, modern technology, is that it has turned everything on its head. While in former times people attempted to use science to improve their dominion over nature, it has now infiltrated into the very innermost laws of nature. For this reason, the problem is not in essence that of the relationship between man and nature, but rather that of our felicity in choosing among what might be infinite possibilities, so that we do not fall victim to the works of our hands." Of course, we should not be surprised in hearing these words. We have set technology on a mission to dominate all of nature. Why do we not also find ourselves falling victim to the power of technology? Despite this ominous predicament, let us also consider the words of the great author Fyodor Dostoevsky in his masterful work Brothers Karamazov, published serially from 1879 to 1880, who offers us hope in the face of the tyranny of science and technology. In this passage, Father Paisy is addressing Alyosha after the passing of Elder Zosima. He writes, "Remember always, young man," Father Paisy began without preface, "that science, which has become a great power in the last century, has analyzed everything divine handed down to us in the holy books. After this cruel analysis, the learned of this world have nothing left of all that was sacred, but they have only analyzed the parts and overlooked the whole. And indeed, their blindness is marvelous. Yet the whole still stands steadfast before their eyes, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It may seem strange to just now be addressing a definition of technology, but I believe it is critical that a firm foundation for both an understanding of Orthodox education and the origins and nature of modern technology must be understood first. Context is vital to this discussion. A simple definition for technology would be something like the following. A technology is something that we make and use. Sometimes you will hear that science brings about technology, and technology supports science. A symbiotic relationship of sorts. Yet another definition of technology is that it lessens the burden of man and his work. I would like for a moment to consider technology in a bit of a different light. Neil Postman, in his important work on technology, written in 1985, entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business, makes an important distinction between technology and medium. He writes, quote, I must begin by making a distinction between a technology and a medium. We might say that a technology is to a medium as the brain is to the mind. Like the brain, a technology is a physical apparatus. Like the mind, a medium is a use to which a physical apparatus is put. A technology becomes a medium as it finds its place in a particular social setting, as it insinuates itself into economic and political context. A technology, in other words, is merely a machine. A medium is the social and intellectual environment a machine creates. Here, it is important to observe Postman's words carefully. He states, quote, a medium is the social and intellectual environment a machine creates. For Postman, the medium is not passive, but active. Postman continues, quote, of course, like the brain itself, every technology has an inherent bias. It has within its physical form a predisposition toward being used in certain ways and not others. Only those who know nothing in history of technology believe that a technology is entirely neutral. Each technology has an agenda of its own. It is a metaphor waiting to unfold. The printing press, for example, had a clear bias toward being used as a linguistic medium. The technology of television has a bias as well, Postman writes. And this bias reaches its full potential as a medium of amusement and entertainment. If we use Postman's understanding of technology and medium, we are almost always talking about the medium and not the actual technology. When we talk about the smartphone and our concerns with it, we are not talking about the actual physical device unless we dropped it and our screen cracked. Rather, we are talking about the uses to which we put the smartphone within our culture. Postman's point here is a powerful one. Technologies are not neutral. They have a bias, and the technology seeks, so to speak, to realize its full potentiality within the context of a given culture. In light of Postman's distinction between a technology and a medium, we must not be naive in thinking that the technology is merely a tool. Through its medium, technology can take on implicit value and can become much more than a tool, and its value as good or evil becomes more than how we choose to use it. One last point with regard to technology before we move into the third of four sections for this talk. When we speak of technology in the context of education, we are not talking about a pencil or a doorknob or a button on a shirt. While these are certainly technologies, they are not the technologies we are concerned about in education today. What we have in mind is modern technology, and more specifically, technology utilized within the context of education and our youth. So more to the point for this talk, we are talking about computers, iPads, smartphones, the internet, and everything that comes with these technologies, such as social media, the digital page, different means of communication. How do these types of modern technologies relate to Orthodox education?